portions of this hour brought to you by Big Rock Brewery's new Mosaic Lager, a crisp India Pale Lager bursting with Mosaic hops, available in six packs and the new 12-can variety pack. That's Big Rock.
The Jason Greger Show, live at Auto City Edmonton, 131st Am and St. Albert Trail, only on Edmonton's sports leader, TSN 1260.
It's an auction for the tickets, people wondering. Yeah, we got a bid on it. It's all for charity. First game, it's a big deal. Big thanks to Coop to donate the tickets to us. So we're up to $500. That's great from DVD, but if you want in, you can go bid at 10, 1260 or call Mojo 444-1260. They are center ice, row one in the luxury new second deck. They're fantastic seats. And we got 2 minutes if you text the word truck to 67076. Don't text it to us. Text it to 67076. We welcome in Guy Flaming, the host of the Pipeline Show Tuesdays and Saturdays on TSN 1260. Also a color analyst on the Oil Kings broadcast. Talk a little WHL. The season opens up tomorrow across the league. Lots of home and home series. Get some rivalries going right away, which is a lot of fun. And Guy, I guess let's start first of all with the Oil Kings and your expectations, because on paper it looks like might be a team that struggles to score.
Yeah, my expectations are that it's a growing year, a development year for the Oil Kings, and I think they will be young but solid on the back end. I think they'll get, as the year goes on, the blue line will become a real clear strength for them. I am wondering who scores up front, though. Lane Bauer is going to, I think he's going to lead the team in scoring probably by 20 points. I don't know who's next. They got a lot of guys who were played down the depth chart a little bit last year, and they'll be expected to step up and contribute, but haven't done it at the WHL level yet. So waiting to see who emerges in that department.
Aaron Irving, Mayo, guys who were drafted a few years ago, and you know, Irving, of course, was just at the Oilers rookie camp. Yeah. Didn't sign a contract with the Nashville, I'm pretty sure it was, who drafted him. So where do you see both of those guys' games at right now?
Well, Mayo's not coming back. He's going to be.
You think he's
pro.
Going to play pro?
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. He's. I mean, he could technically come back. There's no discussion about that whatsoever. Hasn't even come up. I'd be shocked. Okay. I think the Oil Kings would probably be pretty surprised to get him back at this point now, too. Aaron Irving is, I wouldn't be surprised if he's the captain this year. Pretty stalwart guy on the back end. Big shot on the power play. And his skating's pretty good. And he's a physical guy. He'll drop the gloves and stand up for his teammates. And I think he's kind of matured over the evolution of Aaron Irving. He's matured a lot and become more of a leader. I think when they draft him, he is a first-round pick. And I think maybe in his first couple of years, there was a little, I'm a first-round pick kind of attitude for a guy. Maybe, I don't want to say a sense of entitlement, but you do see that with guys
sure.
at that age. But he grew out of that, and he's really kind of matured and grown into being a team guy.
Now, they take on Red Deer, of course, who hosted the Memorial Cup last season. And a lot of times you host a Memorial Cup, you load up. And they definitely loaded up, but they didn't do it with really sacrificing the future. Like, I don't see Red Deer plummeting down the standings this season, do you?
No, I don't. I agree with you. I think Brent Sutter really did it in a reasonable way, where he kind of been building for a year and a half probably with the moves that he made. And, yeah, he picked up some big guys last year at the trade deadline, but didn't sacrifice the future to do it necessarily. So they've still got lots of pieces, and that's going to be a team – right in the thick of it, probably in the middle of the pack in the Eastern Conference, but definitely a team that is in the playoffs, a picture for me. There's no question in my mind about that. But they're probably not contenders necessarily this year. Still going to be a fun team to watch.
The Calgary Hitmen,
yep.
Medicine Hat Tigers, Lethbridge, Kootenay, all in the same division as Edmonton and Red Deer. Is Lethbridge the best team in the division? Is Red Deer, who do you think?
I think Lethbridge is probably on paper at least the best team. They surprised everybody last year, and that'll be a challenge for them this season, because everybody's going to be gunning for them right from the get-go. They're not going to sneak up on anybody this year, but they're pretty solid up front, lots of scoring. Their back end is maybe a little lacking star power, but still pretty efficient, and they made a trade to get young Brendan Minnell from the Vancouver Giants, and he's a capable blue liner, can work their power play. And Stuart Skinner, draft-eligible guy this year, but He's going to be their go-to guy in net, and he's a capable goaltender, no question in my mind. So I think Lethbridge top to bottom is probably the best team in the division, but there's I think it's a pretty competitive and lots of parity in the Central this year.
I think Burke has a good chance to maybe lead the league in scoring.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he could be there. Giorgio Estefan from Edmonton as well could be. I mean, they're probably line mates this year, and both of them are highly offensive guys. And whether it's Braden Burke or Giorgio Estefan, they could be top five in scoring, no yep. question.
Do you think Nolan Patrick, Guy Flaming joined the Stockland WHL, Nolan Patrick, who is the consensus number one pick heading into this year's draft, a very good player, maybe not the high-end ability or speed like a McDavid or a Matthews, but still a very solid mm-hmm. player. Do you think he makes the World Junior team?
Yeah, I think he's got a good shot at it. I don't think it's an overwhelming group of guys this year. I think he'll be in that mix. Would have been at the camp this summer, but he had hernia surgery, so he's been on the shelf for a bit. So we'll see how rusty he is and what his conditioning is like. The last I saw, he's expected to play tomorrow night in Brandon's opener anyway. But we'll see. I think he'll be in the mix. And listen, he's got 2 years in the WHL already under his belt, so it's not like he's a kid who's not used to that level. He's got Memorial Cup experience now. So, yeah, I'd be leaning towards him making the team.
For draft-eligible players, outside of Patrick, is Adam Foote's young son, Cal, is he the next highest-rated WHLer?
It's a good question because there's a number of players in the WHL eligible this year, but nobody that really he's the next guy. I mean, Kyler Yamamoto is a young player, smaller player.
Tiny, but
American,
he's got some skill.
In Spokane, but tons of skill. He could be in that top 15 range like Cal Foote. And there's a pretty good list of guys. The Tri-City Americans have a couple of them. A Finnish defenseman named Juuso Välimäki and a big forward named Michael Rasmussen. He's like 6'5". He'll draw some interest this year. Nikita Papagaev.
Papagaev and Musha. I'll tell you, I've seen him. Well, he slimmed down. He got in shape, man. He's looked unreal.
Yeah.
Now, granted, it's only preseason games. But
he's got size, and he can skate. And
he's got two skilled centers that he'll play with, so he'll get the puck a lot.
Yep, so there's a couple there, and a little Jared Anderson Dolan in Spokane, another one to keep an eye on. So there's a bunch of guys out of the WHL, but once you get past Nolan Patrick, you could throw a dart at five or six names and to be the next
one. We had a lot of local guys last year from around the Edmonton area got drafted. Is this not – it doesn't seem like there's as many Edmonton area kids who are going to go,
well,
or are there
Stuart
a few?
Stuart Skinner, for one, and I'm trying to think of who else. There's – I'm sure there – well, Ian Mitchell, but he's not in the WHL, plays in Spruce Grove with the Saints, defenseman. He'll be one to watch for this year as well. Might not be a first-round kind of guy. The Oil Kings actually have a defenseman from Edmonton, Braden Gorda, who will be drafted this year, probably in the top 50, 60. As well. So there's some local guys, but maybe not quite as many as we saw last year.
Guy Flaming joined us from the Pipeline Show. Talk a little WHL. Oil Kings in action tomorrow right here on TSN 1260, taking on Red Deer. And then, of course, the first sellout, man. Talk about a madhouse on Saturday night. Fans jacked up, many of them first time in the building, the players. And I got a tour today of the Oil Kings locker room from Mr. Cheeseman and Steve Hamilton. And it's just... Buddy, that their room might be better than some NHL rooms. Like, just from the room itself to the all the extra amenities they have there. It's a fantastic facility from video and just teaching little things. It's going to be crazy for them. That's going to be an advantage when it comes to breaking down film in between periods and
such. That's what I'm told. I haven't had a tour of the Oil Kings room yet or the Oilers room, but I've been to the building. But when you're a visiting a member of the opposition and you're coming to the new rink. And you go to even the visitors' rooms are really nice.
Yeah, I saw it. It's pretty good.
Like, you got to be looking around and thinking, like, what? This organization is taking care of their guys. Like, even at the WHL level, if you're a team coming in from BC or from the States, and word's going to get around, and I think that's going to help a lot with recruiting and European drafting for the Oil Kings. It's all above board, but it's as close to cheating or an unfair advantage as you can get. I mean, you got the best facility on the planet now.
Yeah, no, that's a huge advantage. Who is your – do you have a team that – because, most people think Regina is going to be the best team in the East.
Sure.
Safe to say they got a lot of skill up front, a really good team. Do you have a dark horse, maybe surprise team?
Well, I think Regina and Lethbridge are probably the two best teams in the conference. If there's a sneaky team – Listen, Swift Current is off to a really good start here in the preseason, but it's preseason, and they pick their team a lot earlier than everybody else does. So they've been playing with their full lineup for the last two or three games. But they've got a guy coming in Alexi Heppaniemi, is a Finnish import who's got 15 points in the preseason. Nobody else has got 10. So he's off to a pretty good start. Yeah.
Okay.
If he can continue it on, we'll see. We often see with the imports, they get off to a hot start, hit a wall about 30 games in, and don't recover. But for some reason, I think Swift Current could be sneaky good. I don't even know if they'll make the playoffs, but could they be this year's Lethbridge, where they take a surprising leap forward? I don't expect it, but you know, I really think that the divisions, the teams who are going to make the playoffs this year, I don't think there's really surprises. Might be what order they finish in, but I really think in the Central, it's Lethbridge, Red Deer, Medicine Hat, Calgary, and in the East, Regina, Brandon, Moose Jaw, PA, which, you know, no real surprises there. Yes, that does leave Edmonton on the outside.
So yeah, you think this might be the year where they don't make it?
I do. I mean, they tied for the final spot last year with the Medicine Hat Tigers. Medicine Hat, you know, you look at how important having returning players is to junior hockey. It's pretty rare with the amount of turnover on rosters from year to year. Medicine Hat returns all of their top scorers.
Yeah.
Edmonton loses. Didn't score a lot last year and lose guys like Brett Pollock and Dyson Mayo. So I think Edmonton is going to be challenged to score. Medicine Hat, I think, is going to be one of the top teams in the conference. So they go in Edmonton, that pushes somebody out, and that probably is at the expense of the Oil Kings.
Now, it's a team that obviously I know quite well because I'm an FFL, and their head coach Tim Hunter, I spoke to him last, like, that's a team that in Moose Jaw that really they're going to be a highly offensive team. Mm-hmm. You got Brett Howden, a first round pick when he comes back from Tampa Bay. Obviously, I think that the big Russian winger is going to be a pretty good chance to be a first rounder this year in Nikita Papagayev. Yep. The one guy though, Jaden Hogglebawks, to me reminds me of what Sanford. You know, a smaller, skilled guy.
Yeah.
Last year he had an unreal playoffs for them along with Jeannot. Like they've got six legit forwards. It's really the questions are going to be on defense.
Yeah, I agree.
But they got guys who can move the puck. They've got obviously toughness in thrower. But Zaitsev, who was drafted, I'm telling you, he's looked awesome in preseason.
Yeah.
Just at moving the puck, and I think that's where.
Yeah.
And their goaltending. Like, does a team have better goaltending, starter and backup, than Moose Jaw in the league?
Possibly PA with Ian Scott and Ryland Peranto. Prince George has a couple of guys that they can throw in as well, but listen, Moose Jaw's got a pretty good tandem when you've got Zach Sochenko and Brody Wilms. So there's two good guys there, and on the back end, they have an incoming player named Jet Wu. I remember I was south of the border in his draft year, which was 2 years ago, so in 2015, and I was getting Winnipeg TV, and there was an article or a piece on Jet Wu out of Winnipeg at the time. And it was middle of the year, so there was talk about him trying to go for exceptional status in the WHL. It's never happened, and it didn't happen for him. But, I mean, he was getting a lot. There was a lot of buzz about this guy.
I think his parents were a little bit over the top,
to be
completely honest.
He is supposed to be a pretty darn good player, though.
He's going
to
be a good player.
Defenseman.
It's tough, though, when you come in as a 16-year-old.
Yep.
To dominate at 16 at the defense position.
Sure.
But, no, he's big, pretty strong. Like, he's 195 pounds already.
Yeah.
He's 16 years of age. So, no, he's going to help out a lot on their back end. Josh Brook, a guy who's going to get drafted as well. So, to me, I like to watch the exciting teams. Like, them and Regina are games. I think it could all be 6-5 games all the time. Like, Regina's offense is scary to me. Do you see, and with Brandon, obviously, Provorov. So, that's my question.
That's huge.
If Provorov's back, Brandon's legit. If Provorov isn't back, man, that's a huge blow to that team.
Yep.
What do you think happens to him in Philly? You watched him last year. I thought he was the best player in the Western Hockey League. Do you think he comes back?
That's the thing. I talked to everybody who watched the WHL and covers the WHL, thinks Ivan Provorov is ready to go. He should not. He doesn't. He's done everything that he can do at the WHL level. I talked to reporters that cover the Philadelphia Flyers, and they point out that the Flyers have 7 or 8 guys on one-way NHL contracts. And then players like Samuel Morin, who was a first-round pick a couple of years ago and has played 2 years in their system already at the American Hockey League level, a Swede named Robert Hag. Travis Sanheim is now done with the WHL. And so they've got some prospect defensemen who are older than Provorov, might not be better than Provorov, but he's going to have to go to camp and really turn some heads and force a vet out of the starting rotation just to stick there. So I think Provorov could be a situation where I think he's going to get the 9 games.
Yeah.
He might even be there longer than that. They might, you know, play him for 9 games, but he might not play the first 9 games. I think he eventually comes back to the WHL. Might be after the World Junior, like Leon Draisaitl when he came back to the WHL. Might be a similar situation to that. But if he ends up coming back to Brandon for the second half of the season, who cares where they finish in the regular season standings? So to have him in the playoffs would be huge.
We'll take a quick break. We'll come back more with Guy Flaming previewing the Western Hockey. If you've got any questions, feel free to text them in at 10-12-60. You can also get your bids in. And congratulations! We have the winner, Richard Drew. You have won the tickets of the Dixie Chicks. And the fine folks here at Auto City Edmonton will be in touch with you tomorrow to get them to you in your hands. And you will be going next Thursday. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, wrap things up on the Jason Gregor Show, presented by Mr. Lube, Canada's leader in car maintenance.
Portions of this hour brought to you by the Sports Closet. The NFL season is in full swing and the NHL season is getting underway very, very quickly. Get everything you need by stopping by the Sherwood Park Mall, checking out the Sports Closet, or online at sportscloset.ca.
The Jason Gregor Show, live in Auto City, Edmonton, 131st Ave and St. Albert Trail, only on Edmonton's sports leader, TSN 1260.
Jason Gregor back with Guy Flaming from the Pipeline Show. We continue to talk WHL. We started in the East. We'll go in the West. What do you think of the Kamloops Blazers this year, Guy?
Might have the best goalie in the league and up-and-coming team offensively, I think, and on the blue line. That's a pretty well-rounded team. They could do some damage this year. That's a team to be reckoned with.
Well, you've got that BC division, Victoria, Kelowna, Kamloops. Is Victoria still the top team in your eyes?
I think so. They're the early preseason pick to be champs this year as well. So I think they are the team to beat. They've got a young guy named Matthew Phillips who's an outstanding offensive player, small, but sixth-round pick of the Flames, a real good gamble to take in the sixth round. Tyler Soy, who's been in Oilers camp a couple of times, they let him get away, though, and he's a sniper, scored 46 last year. That's a pretty good team. And they've got a young goaltender named Griffin Outhouse, who
from the outhouse to the penthouse.
Yep, pretty much, or the other way around, and that's okay with Victoria because he was really good, had solid numbers last year.
Now, Carter Hart from Sherwood Park, of course, just got drafted this past year. He's in Everett, and he's got great numbers, but his team can't score a lick. Is
at
that going to be – like, is there any chance Constantine's going to even think offense, or is he just going to stand on the bench and bark out defensive plays during the game again?
Well, that's a fair criticism of the Everett Silvertips and Kevin Constantine. I mean, he's an outstanding goalie, but they don't give up a lot of shots. They don't get a lot of shots either. So when they win games, it's often 1-0 or 2-1. If you get 2 goals against Everett, you got a pretty good chance of winning the hockey game because they can't score. And I think this year it catches up to them.
They don't have they have no young offensive guys coming, really?
Not really. They got an import that I think they're expecting big things from, but they don't have a lot of offense.
For Oilers fans, Ethan Bear, who was named associate captain today, is Seattle kind of the runaway choice, you think, to win the U.S. division?
Yeah, and just like with Ivan Provorov, assuming Matt Barzal comes back, and I do think he does,
yes,
he could be a candidate to be top scorer in the league, except he'll miss time at the World Junior, I'm sure. But the Seattle Thunderbirds are legit, and they picked up Ryland Toth from Red Deer a couple of weeks ago, so they've got a veteran goaltender now who's been to the Memorial Cup. That's going to be a real good team this year.
And what about 20-year-olds? Are we going to see any changes here, trades, as teams try to get down to numbers? Is there any out there?
It's not really a good crop of 20s. There are a couple of teams that have too many, like Edmonton actually has a couple of four 20-year-olds and can only carry three. I think Swift Current only has one, so they're a team that could add one easily. But there aren't a lot of really interesting, you know, is that guy going to be released and snapped up right away, or is Team X going to have to trade somebody to make room? There doesn't seem to be a lot of that this year.
Napoleon and the boys at One Touch Auto Body are in at $525 now for our tickets. Nice. Coming in under the wire. We'll see if DVD can respond. He's got about 2 minutes left to get in on that. It's all going for charity, so that's great. Who would be your preseason pick to represent the Western League at the Memorial Cup?
At the Memorial Cup, I've got Victoria as the WHL champion.
And who will they be facing in the Western Hockey League final? So who's going to come out of the
My pick is Lethbridge. Really think Regina and Seattle are the other two teams, though, in both conferences. I think one of those four, I'd be really surprised that if they're not one of those four is the WHL champ. But I think Regina, Lethbridge is going to be – both of those teams will be really good this year. But Victoria is my pick right now.
And now Todd's in at $600. Oh, a little final bidding. Nice. I love it. It's all for charity. Someone wants to go see the game on Monday night. Oilers and the Flames. Should be a lot of excitement in the building, of course. Maybe Lucic. Maybe Puljujarvi. McDavid's back in town.
Yeah.
The coach will be back in town. Lots happening. Who quickly, if you look at, and I know it's all, because you do a lot of, you're looking at all the players and stuff, and you look at the team's rosters, I know you know them inside and out, and is there a team, because a lot of times you build for the next year, right? Like, that'll be a good team.
Yep.
Do you see a team that's built to have a really good crop in 19s next
Regina.
Year? Yeah, next year too?
Regina could get there this year, but it just like when the Oil Kings won the first year, they should have been better the next year.
Okay.
But I think Regina is primed for 2018, and they want to host in 2018 as well.
That hasn't been selected yet.
All three leagues will put forth two teams on a ballot. It's open to all three leagues, and it'll get narrowed down from there. I think most people expect it'll be Ottawa that ends up getting it. But Regina will be one of the two teams out of the WHL that are vying for it, and they've got a team that can contend.
And Napoleon and the boys, they come back in and they win. Napoleon, we will get in touch with you. Congratulations. You're the winner. So Guy Flaming, tomorrow night, Corey Graham, Guy Flaming, pregame show around 6:40 from Red Deer, and then Saturday, an hour pregame show for the home opener of the Oil Kings. It's sold out. Flaming's going to be wearing a bow tie. It's going to be unbelievable. Make sure you be there in attendance or listening if you can't go because it's sold out. You can listen to it right here on TSN 1260, all the action all season long with Corey Graham and Guy Flaming. And, of course, quickly, Pipeline Show Saturday. What's coming up?
Well, it'll be lots of preview stuff for the season opener for the Oil Kings. That's pretty much what we got in store at this point.
Okay, and probably a little bit of OHL stuff, I would think.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, we get around.
QMJF. Well, yeah, you do. You do get around. All right, on behalf of Mark Mageau, I'm Jason Greger, the great staff here at Auto City Edmonton. Have a great night. We're out.